First of all, we'll definitely shout out all the Patreons supporting the Shira. I very, very much appreciate that. I don't know if you've ever listened to any podcasts or whatnot, but that's like the first thing they do. So just to be honest, I very much appreciate everybody doing the Patreon thing. Very much appreciate it. Okay, we are going to do the first Perek, Perek Aleph. Like I said before, we're going to try and do one Perek per Shir so we get a sense of moving. Kind of moving forward. Obviously, as we pointed out, the Gro writes that the words are very precise in the Mesillas Yesharim. You could spend a lot more time on it, but I think it's good for a summer shiur. It's definitely good to kind of move. So we're going to move through, hopefully cover the entire first parak. And if you have the Sefer in front of you, obviously that is definitely helpful. But if you don't, I will try and paraphrase as much as I can. And again, I learned this Sefer from Rav David Miller, so a lot of the things I'm saying is from him, but a lot of things that, if it sounds familiar, so again, this is the basis of a lot of schmoozes that you get during the year. You'll see what I mean in a second. A lot of the schmoozes that you hear during the year are based on this first paragraph of Mesillas Yesharim. So, okay, without further ado, let's get into it. So just to read, again, just to be a little bit text-heavy at the beginning, just because, it's the first paragraph, and that's the parak that's I think everybody learns before they give it up. Yes, we are recording. It's a sham recording this year. We'll talk about where to upload this year afterwards because I feel like it's probably better to upload other places. Okay, vital. Yisod haChasidus v'shur shavoda atzmima hu sheizbar v'yisamitz etzol adam ma chovato ba'olamo v'lama tzorech sheyasim mavato magamato b'chol asher hu amal kol yemei chayav. Right, I'm not going to read the text the entire time, but it's to get that first paragraph, famous paragraph, out of the way. Basically, what is the what is the goal here? Right? What are we aiming for? Right? If, again, we pointed out last week, you need a compass, you need a map, you need to know what you're shooting for. If you don't know what the goal is in life, so then you're just walking around aimlessly. Right? So what is Torah? What is this roadmap that is Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us? Or Hashem has given us the path. So what is it? So it says the Ramchal, we're going to start by talking about that a person has to figure out ma chovato ba'olamo, what is a person's job in this world? What do we have to accomplish? What Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world for us to go through it, as we'll see in a second, and use it for a certain purpose. What is the purpose? And again, I always like to point out that if I can harp on the language for a second, and then we'll start moving. Chovato ba'olamo, ma chovato ba'olamo. That is in the singular. What is a person's obligation and job and duty in this world? That he writes it in the singular. Every single person here in this world, right on the Zoom and in the world, has their own path, has their own goal, has their own derech and the way that they're going to be mekadesh shem shamayim. Right? It's going to be different for every single person. Right? Your strengths and your weaknesses and your background and your interests and your environment and your friends, all of those things come out and create a different person than everyone else. That's why we have different faces, etc. For each one of us, the answer is going to be different. But what we share is the fact that we are supposed to use the Torah and mitzvos to guide us along that path and make the decisions that we're supposed to make, right? Everybody has their own their own kind of maslul, as they say in Hebrew. Everyone has their own path, but basically we're going to use these principles, and hopefully we can all kind of choose along the same lines. Okay, now says just to read one more paragraph, and then I'll try and lay off the text. He says, "V'hinei ma she'aronu chachamenu zechronu levrachahu." What our sages have told us. She'adam lo nivra el lis'aneg al Hashem v'lehanos miziv shchinaso. Fascinating. If I would stop you on the street and say, what is the purpose of creation? Why did God put us here on this earth? We might say something fluffy about spirituality or neshama or tikkun olam or whatever. It says the Ramchal, our purpose that Kadosh Baruch Hu put on this world to enjoy. To enjoy ourselves. That's what he writes. Now, the way to enjoy ourselves truly, he says in the next line, next few words, Shezeu atanu kamiti. That is the true enjoyment. Va'idun agomi kol edunim, the greatest joy, the greatest simcha, sheyicholim limatze, that you can find. And then he lays the hammer, drops the hammer. Makom oidu mazeh be'emes ulalam haba. Drops the hammer and says, oh, by the way, the place you can experience this tremendous enjoyment and joy and simcha and pleasure is not this world. It's the next world. And that's how Kosh Baruch Hu designed the world, meaning that there is definitely some unknown in this world, definitely. But it's like comparing, you know, a 10-pound steak to chicken nuggets. Right? That's the comparison between the pleasure in the next world and this world. Right? We're in this world. So he says in the next paragraph again, not to read the whole thing, but he explains that this world is therefore famous line. Therefore, this world is a prose door to the next world. That's the Mishnah Perkei Avos. That this world is a corridor to the next world. And the way we're supposed to use this world to acquire the goodness and the pleasure and the enjoyment that Kosh Baruch Hu is going to give us in the next world. Hashem could have just given it to us. Right? Kosh Baruch Hu is a Meitiv. He basically created the world to give goodness to us. But in his ultimate wisdom, he understood that for us to really acquire it, for us to really experience it, for us to really accomplish it, so we have to earn it. We can't just give it, right? Again, you guys know all the muscles. You guys know all the examples, right? You earn the money that you earn, or the things that you earn in your life are much more dear to you than the things that you were just gifted. Right? And that is the same idea with this tanug, with this ultimate pleasure. Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to earn it, wants us to be ours. And he says, the only place we can earn it is this world. And how do we earn it in this world? That's the mitzvos. That's the mitzvos. And that's the only thing that accomplishes what we're trying to accomplish. Again, we've talked about mitzvahs before very quickly, is that it's basically, as he'll explain in a second, the Ramchal will explain in a second, that mitzvahs are basically a barometer between good and evil. The mitzvahs are a definition of what is good. Averus are a definition of what is evil. You can get lost trying to figure out what is good, what is evil. There are logical mitzvahs, illogical mitzvahs. This is a good idea. That's a good idea. The mitzvahs are a barometer. The Torah is our barometer. And that is how we're supposed to choose. Therefore, I'm just again paraphrasing, a man is put into this world, and through the physical world that are given to him, he's able to get to the goal, to get to the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building for him, which is the next world. And then he will have a kanalo, he will have acquired all the goodness in the next world, right? Through Emtzaim Ha'ilah, through the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Fine. So again, whatever mushal you want to use, the boat that gets you across the river, the car that drives you down the highway, that is this world. The mitzvos are the car or the engine that makes it go, and that's how we get into the next world. Okay. If you're in the green, I have the green field on. If you're in that one, I'm still on page, still on the first page. When you look and check out, and you dig deeper. David HaMelech says, he quotes a couple of psukim here, one in Tehillim, both are in Tehillim. Vani kirvas elukim li tov. Says David HaMelech, for me, clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what's good. Now, my Rebbe Rav Miller felt that that was not a subjective statement. It wasn't David being like, a bunch of dudes like to chill at the bar, a bunch of dudes like to chill at the beach, I like chilling with God. That's not what David was saying. Says my Rebbe said that David was making an objective statement. A little bit difficult to read because he says ani for me, but I think he means the ultimate ani for us. When he says li, the ultimate li, meaning the colloquial we, what is it? The collective we, whatever, you know what I'm saying. That he's saying that good is defined as kirvas elokin. And he says again, also a puzzle that you're familiar with. Kosh Baruch Hu put me in Hashem's house my entire days. Right? That's what is good. That's how you define good. Right? He's not trying to say that that's my opinion. He's trying to define what's good, and the mitzvos are how we acquire this closeness to a Kosh Baruch Hu. Right? And he says that a person has to put in effort. The next paragraph, again, if I'm on page test, if you're following along, Lefum Tzara Agra, basically, the Ramchal is saying that according to a person's efforts is going to be the reward. It's not the accomplishments. Don't make that mistake. A lot of people think, let's just take learning as an example. Don't think that learning, let's say, 100 hours is going to be necessarily better than learning 10 hours, right? For someone who can learn 100 hours, they need to learn 100 hours. But someone who is unable to learn that much, and for them, 10 hours is tremendous effort and toil and focus. So that 10 hours is worth a lot more than someone who can just breeze through and loves learning for whatever for 100 hours. Now, obviously, right, just the 100 hours is very valuable. I'm not trying to rip on people who sit and learn all the time. But it's based on efforts. And that's what, again, we started with, that this goal and this path is different for everybody depending on their strengths and weaknesses. Right? Some people are academics. They can sit and plow through text and learn, all study all this stuff. God bless them. But they have a higher threshold, meaning that they will be expected, quote unquote, to learn longer, learn more. For someone who hates text, is unable to read, and not illegible, but hates reading and hates focusing. So for them to learn 10 hours is a tremendous accomplishment. It goes, says Ram Chal, it goes based on effort. Right? It goes based on the Fumtzar Agra. And that's how much we have to overcome. We're going to get off learning, and we're going to go into a couple of examples of mitzvahs and stuff like that. But basically, the more effort a person puts in, and the more they're able to overcome, that's what we're talking about over here. We're not talking about like a laundry list of checking off necessarily accomplishments. Okay. But, says the Ramchal. Now, switching gears a little bit. If you're in the book, I'm on page 10 in the third paragraph. The way this world works, and again, you've heard this in Sem, but it's literally the first parak in Mesillas Yesharim. The way this world works, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us into a world with not limitations, but obstacles that come in the way of spirituality. Meaning, we would not have free will if the quote-unquote evil or the distractions weren't equally as attractive as the good, right? If you're telling me if you do all this stuff, you'll get an incredible, endless enjoyment and pleasure, great, sign me up. Why don't we do that? Why don't we all do that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a physical world, and the physical stuff has a lot of attractiveness, and that is, by definition, it has to be how it is, because otherwise there'd be no bechira, there'd be no free will, right? That's how the world works. In addition, says Ramchal, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to set up the world was that those physical things drag you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? When a person gets stuck and focuses on the physical and focuses on the distractions in this world, in the physical, in the Olam Hazeh, so the person falls away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're able to overcome those distractions, so then you get closer. That's literally a sliding scale, right? Rabbi Kiva Tatz talks about that in the first chapter of Thinking, Teaching, and Yiddish Guide to Life. Okay, fine. And so Rav Chal then just clarifies again in the middle of the paragraph, Ki kol in yonei ha'olam bein l'tov l'ra hein nisrinos la'adam. So therefore, everything in this world is a test. Is a test and a way to acquire the goodness. That's what he says. He quotes Shlomo HaMelech. He said, okay, whether it's poverty on the one hand or wealth on the other hand, those are different. But they're both equally challenging. Obviously, if a person is poor, they don't know where their next meal is coming from, just to take a terrible example. So obviously very stressed, very difficult to choose good over evil. Conversely, when a person is wealthy, a different set of challenges: how they spend their money, how much tzedakah they give, how they spend their time. They don't need necessarily to work so much. Maybe they have more time free for learning. So different set of challenges. It's not, neither is good nor bad. It's just there are different sets of challenges. The question is how a person deals with that. Right, when a person has a peaceful life, or Rahman al-Islam has a very difficult life. So it depends, right? All of it is a test in one way or another. And so he says a very powerful line at the end of this paragraph, Ad shenintzeis mehamil chama ilav panim v'achor, until you find that the war is on him, both in front and behind. It's literally a war every single moment, and a person has no ben izmanim. There's no break, there's no summer vacation. It literally Ezu Gibor HaKovesh Yitzro, who is a strong, someone who overcomes the Yitzro Hara, it's constant and it never stops. Now, if a person is successful and is able to conquer and succeed, so then he will enter the next world and cling to Hashem according to what they deserve. Right? But that all depends on a person's accomplishments in this world, and that's what he's trying to bring out. According to the level in which you overcame your Yitzhara, again, not necessarily your accomplishments, but the level, the amount of ability that you had, that you could overcome your Yitzhara and your taifas and your desires, and the fact that you were able to stop yourself from things that bring you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what a person is judged by, and that's what a person should put their goals on. Right? When a person goes to bed at night, so you should think, right, you should judge your day based on what you were able to accomplish in this sliding scale, in this battle. You shouldn't think based on, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Okay. If you go even deeper, So he right gets here into a little bit of Kabbalah. We pointed out yesterday that the Ramchal was a tremendous, tremendous... Kabbalist is a bad word because there's baggage associated with that. But he knew all this kind of Torah Sasod, all this type of secret stuff, and that his books were burned originally, and then he kind of scaled back the secrets. And then, obviously, his works were accepted by all of Am Yisrael. So here he wrote in Derech Hashem a little bit more esoteric stuff that Ramchal is picking up at the end of Derech Hashem. So he's basically kind of delving into the secrets a little bit here. I don't understand them. When I say the secrets, I definitely do not have a good grasp of them. But he's trying to explain over here. I'm just trying to paraphrase that the world was created in this manner. When a person does good, the world and the upper spheres are lifted up. When a person does bad, so the upper spheres in the world is brought down a little bit. Right? He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the good light, that the light was good, he locked it away for the tzaddikim. Anyway, meaning that the tzaddikim are able to access this, and you can literally quote unquote save the world, right? When you use the world correctly, right? We talk about Tikkun Olam. I think it's a phrase that's thrown about a lot in America, at least, or definitely when I was growing up. For Tikkun Olam, you want to fix the world. What does that mean? It does not mean that you want to, give out food handouts to the homeless on weekends. Now, that's very nice, and I'm sure it's tremendous chesed, but what we're talking about is on a much greater scale. The concept of Tikkun Olam is like a spiritual, like Kabbalistic type concept, that when we use the physical world in the right way, so the koach that we give to the world, right, we keep the world going with our spirituality, right, we impact the upper spheres. Okay, I'm saying words that I don't necessarily understand, I'll totally admit. But that's at least what he writes. That's what Rav Chaim writes in Nev Shechaim, etc. Okay, let's move on a little bit, just because I do want to get to the end of the paragraph. Right, he talks about it. Adam Arishon was given one mitzvah, and obviously he blew it, but we are given many, many mitzvahs, and that's what we should use to kind of quote-unquote fix the world, right, to do Tikkun Olam. So Kol Shodavar, in other words, let's sum up for a second, bottom line. This world is a means to an end. It's a means to an end, and it's something that we're supposed to use. He quotes a bunch of Mamari Chazal over here, that the world is a corridor, and today, Gemara and Erevin, that we do the mitzvahs today, and tomorrow, meaning the next world, we get the reward. Phrase in the Gemara Avodah Zarah, I think, that Misha Tarach Erev Shabbos Yochal B'Shabbos, whoever works and prepares for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, will eat on Shabbos, meaning that if you do your work in this world, you get the world in the next world, right? And then he quotes a medrash about this world being compared to the sea, and the next world is usually it's the other way around. Okay, whatever. Anyway, fine. Fatir Bamas, next paragraph. He proves now, Ramchal proves that this world cannot be the Tachlis. This world, it's impossible. He gives two proofs, logical proofs, why it can't be that this physical world is why we were created. It's impossible. He says, proof number one, that this world, and again, unfortunately, we can see it every single day when we turn on our phones, that this world is an olam hasheker. It's a false, crazy, insane, mishugana type world. Right? That's what he writes. And he says, just to quote Pasuk in Tehillim, right? A person lives 70, 80 years, and virabam amal v'oven. Right, and most of them, right, are filled with, literally just translating, toil and anguish, whatever that means. But life is tough, in short. Life is tough. This world is not, listen, it's fun. And if you have the proper mindset, and proper emunah, and bitachon, and gosh baruch hu, you can live an amazing life of simcha. But life is tough. Right, I remember I was, it was a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Joe Rogan. I don't know if anybody listens to Joe Rogan, but he had this guy, David Goggins, on. He was an ultramarathoner, Navy SEAL, whatever. So he didn't watch the whole thing, but he had a fascinating line. He said, don't triple down on your strengths, triple down on your weaknesses. And what he meant was that most people just build their strengths, the things that they're naturally good at. And they don't necessarily accomplish something that is, let's say, maybe a real true accomplishment. Now, he's not talking about spiritually. He's talking about, I don't know what he's talking about. But most people are afraid to deal with their weaknesses. And his point was that, listen, life is tough. He says 90% of life is going to be terrible. I don't know, that's already exaggeration. I think, maybe It's much closer to 50-50, 40-60, 30-70. I don't know. I think he's a little bit too negative. But his point was that life is tough. And this world is not like, you know, you don't go through, you know, it's not 80 years of bliss. Baruch Hashem, it should be simcha deg with the proper hashkafa and emuna, bitachon, etc. Eju ashir samech b'chalko, right? With proper wealth, etc. and atzlacha. But life can be tough sometimes, and Taka, it can't be that a Kosh Baruch Hu, right, you don't find, says the Ramchal, just to paraphrase the Ramchal, you find one out of 1,000 people that has pleasure and peace and relaxation, and even if you find one of those people, right, he lives, you know, 50, 60 years, and then he dies. That's point number one. I mean, it can't be that the physical world here, there's no way that the physical world here, which can be tough sometimes, is the goal. Proof number two, and I think the better one, not that he needs my eskama, is that if the man was created for this world, he would not have had a neshama. Says the only what could be the possible reason for a neshama? I mean, Kosh Baruch Hu could create the world however he wants. Why is there a guf and a neshama? Right? If this world was the goal, he could have just given us a body. Like, what do you need the neshama for? What do you need the chelik elokam imam? Right, there's no way. Meaning that it must be, says the Ramchal, based on that. Just to paraphrase a little bit, Shatia Gedol Yosir Min HaMalachim Atzman. He says the neshama, in some ways, when we improve our neshama, when we grow, we're greater than the malachim. The malachim are stagnant; they don't grow, they don't go up or they don't go down. They have a fixed purpose; they don't move. But when we uplift our neshama, we could be greater than the malachim. And he says it's impossible that he compares the neshama to a princess who marries a villager. The villager has, you know, what does he have? He has meager pots and pans. For him, a feast is, you know, a couple of eggs with his carrots at night. No matter what he gives the princess is not going to be happy. So it's the same thing with the neshama. The neshama in this world is a princess in a villager's house. There's no way that you can actually, you know, make it happy. And therefore, Kosh Baruch would not have given us a neshama if that was the goal, was just to enjoy ourselves physically. So he said, then he writes over here, and very beautiful, that the soul is basically a person's compass. This is what carries people, right, through this physical world. And you can know that because anytime you do something that you regret, right? You ever feel like you have some sort of, like, you give into, let's say you give into your Yetzer Hara, whatever physical pleasure you want to talk about, you guys can, you know, think about it in your head. Let's say you give into your Yetzer Hara. You feel, what do you feel afterwards? You feel gross. And it's not because that you wasted your time. You probably had a great time, honestly. But your neshama is able, for whatever reason, I think this is true, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the neshama knows, it says, Ramchal writes this in a certain sense, that the neshama serves as almost like a moral compass. Because the neshama doesn't get hana from this world, he gets hana from the Ratzon Hashem, from the mitzvot, from doing what you're supposed to do in this world and kind of shooting towards the next world. When you don't, when you give in, let's say, for whatever reason, to the Yetzer Hara, so your neshama lets you know. You almost like feel it inside. So that says that Ramchal is another way you can know that this world is not the real true goal. It must be that there's something more going on over here. And then he says, he pivots and he says that he has a very important line over here that kind of gets overlooked. Again, if we were doing the text, I would have everybody read it. But he says, I'm on page Daf Yud Beis, if you have the green Feldheim, right, in the second paragraph towards the end. He says that it's important to note that, I guess it's really the whole paragraph over here, right, that the mitzvos is what basically helps us get through this world. Right? And he says that the dikdukim, the details, it's crucial. Not the devil's in the details. Maybe that is the phrase, but the important is in the details. And he's going to explain as we go further through the sefer. But the details are crucial. Meaning, we read very often, kind of like, okay, there's a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, but we don't really focus on the details. He says, no, the details are crucial because they inform every single aspect of our lives. Right? The details, right? There's literally a halacha for every scenario, almost, that you find yourself in your life, and that's important in terms of the details. Meaning, there's no such thing as kosher style. There's no such thing as half Shabbos. Right? You need to be accurate. You need to be fully engaged. Right? All the details in the mitzvahs are important. Right? The mitzvahs is what's crucial, and everything else is just noise. Right? The mitzvahs are goals. That's goals. nothing else is important. Everything else is a way to either get to the mitzvos or take you away from the mitzvos. Right? Again, when you see, let's say, those guys who run around with the pamphlets and say, tzaddik, tzaddik, at least in Israel, I don't know, usually they're Rabbi Nachman guys trying to get you, give them tzedakah or whatever. But the idea that they go run and go, chaba mitzvah, chaba bracha, here, come, give it tzedakah, let's learn a halakha together. Those people sound insane, but they have the proper attitude. They're focused, everything for them, the goal is the mitzvahs and everything else is the noise. Right? That's if a person has to make 100 brachos a day, right? That's the thing. So how many of us, myself included, I'm definitely not, how many of us have a counter in their head, even a vague counter of how many brachos you've made today? None of us. How many people do that? Okay, so like Tachlis, if we were really focused on what we should be focusing on, that should be one of the things that are there. Now, obviously, that's not, if you're working on still davening or kashrus or whatever, so obviously that's low down on the list. But that's the idea, that we should live our life focused on mitzvos and everything, realizing that everything else is just a hechatimtza, as they say, is just a way to get to the mitzvos. Now, right, and again, that's why people very often will ask, at least at the beginning of Sem, they'll ask, I understand, why can't I just be a good person? I'm just gonna be a good person. I'm gonna give my tzedakah. I'm gonna be a nice person. I'm gonna be nice to people. Why do I need to do mitzvahs? Why do I need to learn the halachos? Because that's not how it works. Right? That's not how you get to the next world. The next world, the Kosh Baruch Hu told us to choose good over evil. Mitzvahs are the good. Right? That's the definition of good. It's in economy. It's a mitzvah to be nice to people. That's fine. But that's like paying for a car with rolls of toilet paper. Like the toilet paper, I guess, has some sort of value, but you're not buying a car with it. Like you're not getting the ultimate pleasure. So you could be a nice person, and you should be a nice person. But the mitzvos and the halachos are the vehicle and the way that you get to the next world. And Agav, the mitzvos are not so many. It's a little bit overwhelming. I think the Chafetz Chaim writes that it's only like 200 of them that are applicable nowadays. That once you get past all the stuff in the Beis HaMikdash and all that other stuff. So anyway, so the details are important. So the details are important. And the purpose, again, he summarizes, again, the Rambam Kala here, I'm at the bottom of page of Beis if you're there. He summarizes that the mitzvos are to help us overcome challenges, that everything else in life is a challenge. And our goal is to pass that challenge. And the pleasures in this world are only there to help you and to help you grow. Again, there's nothing wrong. I'm not trying to say you have to live without any pleasure, obviously, to enjoy yourself on Shabbos, et cetera, have a nice meal, just to give one example. Definitely, there's a tanug, there definitely is a pleasure in this world, but it's the whole point is to get us to the next world, so that we're able to grow and use the things that Kosh Baruch Hu give us for Avodas Hashem. If you ever say the tefillah in Shema Kolenu for Parnasa, it says, please Hashem, give us Parnasa, so that we can do mitzvos, learn Torah, and I think, what's the last one? I don't remember. But that's the idea. I mean, that should be the goal. The money should be a way to get to the goal. The job, the relationships, that should be a way to get to the goal. Okay. Winding down towards the end over here. One second. Right. Okay, good. Now he says at the end. Now you should always be asking yourself, what does what I'm involved in right now bring me closer or farther away to my goal? Right now that we have our goal, that the goal is to use the mitzvos and to use the Torah in this world to acquire ultimate pleasure in the next world, and that which is clinging to a Kosh Baruch Hu. And now we know what our goal is. Now everything we do in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, is this bringing me closer or farther away from our goal? Right? It says the Ramchal, right? Nothing is neutral. Nothing is neutral. If you decide that something is helping you get closer to your goal, he says, Yirdov acharav, run after it, v'yochazbo, and grab onto it, v'lo yirpeyu, and do not let go. V'chol mashiyachol lakshov shominia l'alzeh, and if you decide that something is holding you back, so then, yivrach mimenu kivrach menaish, you should run away from it like you're running away from fire. And again, that's dramatic, but a person should always be thinking about everything that they're doing. Is this college good for me? Again, this is a seminary shmooze, but it's literally from the Ramchal, the first parak in Mesillas Yesharim. Is this college good for me? Is this guy good for me? Is this neighborhood good for me? Is this job going to be good for me? Is this school for my kids going to be good for me and them? Everything is got to be put into that questionnaire and figure out if you think it is good to you. It is good for you. That's what he kind of leads into the next paragraph. Again, this, as I said before, this is kind of a one. This chapter kind of stands alone. The rest, if you look, flip through the rest of them, but he's going to go through all the midos that we're going to talk about. The zehirus. So if you look, the next parak is explaining what it is. Then there's acquiring it, and then there's keeping it. And that's basically how he kind of like stuff that right stuff mafside things that okay. But basically, each the paragraph the chapters are going to flow into each other. Meaning there are chapters that have two, three chapters on the same topic. This is a standalone. And if you would ask me which chapter should I review if I had time to chazer one chapter weekly, it's the first one. It's the first one. This is, I think, the most crucial chapter, and he basically says that this is now that we've defined the purpose in our lives, right? Now we have to go figure out how to acquire them, and he's going to go through all the midos. He lists them at the end. We don't need to list them over here, but you can look, kind of peek forward and see what we're going to get to next time. Okay, now that we have our maps, now that we have our GPS, right? Now Mitzvah Shem, we can go further and acquire and keep the midos that's gonna help us get to the next world and acquire the ultimate good. All right, great to see everybody.